Girl Crush Radio with Mel D and Claire Murphy.
Welcome back to Girl Crush Radio. With me once again in the studio, my cohort, Mel D. How are you, lady?
Good, mate.
Now, last time we spoke, we were talking about the fact that you had just been diagnosed with cancer for a third time and some of the scariness that went along with that. But when we spoke last, you hadn't actually got all of the diagnosis.
No.
You've been told that, yes, you have.
Definitely have
cancer, but how widespread it was and whether it was curable and whether, you know, treatment, surgery, all that kind of stuff, you had no idea.
Mm.
So talk us through, you went back to the doctor's office the very next day after we spoke.
It was actually, wasn't it? Yeah.
And you sat down with the doctor and what did they tell you?
Right. Well, it's different this time round because the first couple of, I call them cancer scares, you know, they ended in really good news. The first one was just a tumour, which didn't require any chemo or anything like that, just had surgery.
Just lobbed that guy off.
That's all that was. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's not even really cancer, that's a tumour.
Yeah.
That was good. It was
how
hard.
Weird that you say that in a sentence talking about cancer.
Good.
Well, that was good.
Yeah.
On to the next one.
It was good. It was good because Mackie, my baby, was a newborn.
Mm.
Like, he was a newborn. I was still breastfeeding him.
Newborn is like the worst time of your life. Like, babies are wonderful. Newborn babies, holy Moses,
yeah.
They're exhausting.
He was the best newborn, though. And I'll talk about that a little bit later on when I had to talk to him about this diagnosis.
Yes, right.
Because it was important. So the first time was like that. So I wouldn't even call that cancer. I just call it a cancer scare.
Yep.
Second time, pretty similar, cancer scare.
Mm-hmm.
Sorted out by having a hysterectomy because they were precancerous cells. Yes, they grew back, which indicates that they're not very nice. But, you know, get rid of the uterus.
See you.
Job's done, baby.
Off you go. And then you thought, you know, a few little bladder issues in amongst that.
Sure.
But other than that, you thought, hell, we've taken care of that. Good.
Correct.
Stuff. Still not feeling great, though.
Yeah, not feeling great. And it was completely different this time.
Mm.
It was just so different. And I still feel when I'm talking about it like I'm talking about somebody else.
Even the doctor said to you he wasn't sure what kind of news he was going to be giving you when you sat down in that office, didn't he?
He sat down for 2 days. And one day he had to get all of his – I've basically got four doctors now.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to get all four of them together at a table and go, what are we going to do with this woman? Like, he didn't actually know what he was going to be telling me on the Wednesday.
Right.
And he said that up front. He said, you've given me a couple of pretty difficult days, Mel. I'm like, oh, I'm really sorry about that. He's a lovely guy.
Don't have much control over my cells dividing inappropriately, but okay.
No. So long story short, it had actually, yes, it's in the rectal part, in my rectum. It's quite large. I would have had it for a little while.
Saying years, possibly.
Maybe. And he said, I definitely would have had it when I had the hysterectomy, mm-hmm. without a doubt. Mm-hmm. He's sure it was there. It's nasty. It's growing. It's spreading. And it has spread to my liver. And I was told then that I only had two tumours in my liver. And now it turns out I've got four. So that's a concern.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big concern. So, yeah, it's just a thing that I have to now deal with,
Have you removed yourself from it a little bit? Like, you're looking down on it and just trying to deal with all the information?
I am. It's the only way to deal with it. I even saw that he'd written in a couple of the letters to the other specialists that she's handling this really well. I don't know if it's because I've been through the scare before and the outcomes were great or whether That's how I handle things. I'm a solution-driven person, so I'm like.
If I was to ask you right now, are you handling it?
Yeah, I think I am.
Yeah,
I think I'm handling it really well. I've had really bad days. I've had a few cries, but not very many. And a lot of those cries are to do with not so much the cancer or me having to go through what I have to go through. It's everything that goes on top of this. It's the family. It affects your whole family.
Mm.
And it's your finances, as we've discussed.
Yep.
It really affects that, which then in turn affects your family. It affects your friends. It affects everyone that's in your life. It's a horrible bloody thing. It really is.
The knock-on effects are quite widespread. And you mentioned before you had to tell your son, because you have a teenage son still at home. You've got two older boys too.
Mm.
But you've had to talk through with them what's happening with their mum and how are they taking it?
They're pretty good. They're strong like me. Obviously, they're, I guess, frightened in some way.
Mm.
Of course, the question is, are you going to die, Mum? They've all asked me that.
Yeah.
And my answer has been no.
That must break your heart a little bit, though.
It is hard. It is hard. And I've told them, you know, I still hang on the words, this is a curative stage. My doctor said to me, you're lucky we've just caught it in a curative stage. So I hang on to those words.
What does that mean, curative?
That means that they are still able to treat this. Some people aren't as lucky as me, and they will go to the doctor and they'll get a diagnosis that is, they don't know what, they can't do anything for you. They can treat, I guess, the symptoms of the disease, but they can't cure it, whereas I'm still in potentially a curative stage.
Right.
It's still not going to be easy, though.
We're talking about a fairly rough 12 months ahead, and it starts in 2 days' time for
yes,
you.
Yes, Wednesday. Wednesday's the day. Yeah, so I'm going to need daily radiotherapy for the next 5 weeks. And chemotherapy, two different kinds. One kind for the bowel, one kind for the liver. Because obviously whilst they're treating this bowel tumour, which we're calling George, by the way.
We've got the Get Rid of George campaign on the go.
We're calling it Fog, you can imagine. Yeah. Off you go, George.
Fill in the blanks, people.
I don't know why, George.
And it's not Festival of either.
It's not Festival of George. No. So, I don't know why I called it George. That just is a name that came to me.
Well, I was upset because you've got four liver tumours, which you could have called John, Paul, George and Ringo. But you've already used George, so what
I'll
are you
call them
do
the Beatles
that?
Then. Yeah. I'll call them the Beatles.
What are the One Direction kids' names? Zayn.
Yeah.
Harry.
Yeah.
I don't even know who they are.
Actually, two of them are rather annoying too.
Well, that fits.
It does.
One Direction is the name of your liver right now.
Exactly. So, you know, all of this we've sort of brought to, you know, the kids' attention, you know, that we're trying to handle this as best we can. My two older boys don't live with me, so I guess in some ways it's easier for them, but it's not.
Yeah.
It's not because they're not with me every day, but it's easier because they're not with me every day.
Yeah.
Mac is 16. He's very sensitive, beautiful, loving. All three of them are child, but he's with me every day. And he's in year 11 at school. So it's a very important time for him for school. So I want him to have as normal life as he can. He did actually have a bad day. He took a day off of school on the Friday. So I found out on the Wednesday. And on the Friday, he said, I don't want to go to school today, Mum. And he did stay in bed.
Yeah.
And so we had a bit of a chat that day. And the good thing I could say to him was, mate, you've done this before.
Yeah.
When you're a newborn.
Yeah.
I said, you rocked it. You were awesome. You were in hospital with me for the entire time and you were brilliant. I said, you've done it before, mate, so you can do it again. And I think that was good for him to hear that.
Yeah, right. That's a bit of strength in that, isn't it?
Yeah.
So daily radio, chemo, two different types. It all starts on Wednesday. That's 5 weeks worth. And then they operate on the liver tumours.
Yeah. The Beatles are out.
The Beatles are gone. Hey, and there was another one, wasn't there? Wasn't there another one before Ringo?
There was two Pauls, wasn't there?
Yeah, there's supposedly, rumour has it, Paul McCartney died and got replaced by a guy called Billy. So there's heaps of names we can choose from.
It's fine.
And then you go back into a radio chemo regime before the bowel or the rectal cancer is taken care of?
So 5 weeks of radio chemo, then a bit of a break because that is cumulative.
Yep.
So that will still have its effects on me for a few weeks apparently and then the body needs to just have a bit of a rest from that.
Mm-hmm.
Then I have the liver surgery and at this stage it looks like I don't exactly know how that's going to happen yet. He might not be able to take all of them out. He might be able to, I think they blast them. I don't know what they do. They're so amazing. These surgeons are amazing.
It's incredible.
Oh, my God. And then a bit of downtime to get over that.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like I might have about 30% of my liver, which is pretty cool.
Right.
I'm happy about that.
You can function on 30%.
Yeah, apparently.
Okay.
And then bowel surgery, which is a big operation. And then I think I'm going to have about 4 months worth of chemo after that just to make sure.
Done is done.
Yeah, so it's a big year.
That's a huge year. And already, like, you haven't even really faced the first week of treatment yet. And already, can you just talk us through? You've been talking to me about the bills that come in, right?
Mm.
And you have private health cover.
Mm. I have top private health cover.
Yeah, as good as you can get private health cover.
It's the best one.
And this is something that took me a bit by surprise, because the gaps in some of these bills that is not covered by your private health insurance is pretty incredible.
It's huge.
And if you were in the public system, yes, maybe you wouldn't pay for all these things, but you would have to wait, and you don't have the luxury of time right now.
No. I mean, I guess if I was in the system, I wouldn't have to wait now because I'd know it was serious. Mm-hmm. But apparently, if I was in the public system, this might not have even been properly diagnosed yet.
Well, that's the thing. You
that's
have to wait to see the
so
specialist.
Scary.
Yeah.
That could have been too late. Wow. I guess the other thing when you go into the public system, which is fine, and if you have to do it, do it. But I've got four specialists as it is, and I want to make sure I only see those four specialists now.
Yeah.
Because my case is such a complicated case that it's important for me to have that continuity of care.
Absolutely.
That's not promised in the public system.
And that's the thing that a lot of people face. Not everyone can afford private health insurance. And in fact, you guys kind of, you know, scrimp and save to make sure you have that.
Mm.
It's not like you've got all the money in the world to throw around.
Thank God for that, though.
And then there are gaps. So you've things like radio, not even, was it chemo? One of those, not
radiotherapy,
even.
Radiotherapy, not even covered.
Not covered by private health.
Do you want to know how much it is? My radiotherapy is going to cost? $18,000.
Whoa.
I don't have to pay for that. Thank God for Medicare.
So Medicare takes care of some of that.
Yeah, most of that.
Most of that.
Yeah, but still there's a gap. And there's a gap just about everything that's outpatient, there's a gap.
Mm.
So a lot of things are outpatient. And, you know, luckily my chemo is going to be inpatient. So once I think some medical covers, you have to pay a certain amount per year.
I do.
When you go into hospital. And then once that's done for the rest of the year.
Yes.
So there's a gap there.
Yeah.
But once that's done, that's done. Whereas radiotherapy isn't. It's an outpatient thing. So it's not covered. And Medicare have to cover that.
My goodness. And you have to pay these doctors too when you see them, the consultations. You have to pay for each
there's
one.
There's always a gap.
And some of them we're talking $1,500 a pop.
Yep. I had a $900 day the other day.
A $900, that's for a couple of scans, right?
Yep.
Like that, how daunting is that?
That
you're
was the gap.
Facing your own mortality and ridiculous bills at the same time. It's not fair.
No, it's hard. It's very hard. And thank God I've got support from yourself and family and friends and everyone that's helping us. But not everyone has that.
No.
I don't know how they do it.
I don't know how they do it either. I'm absolutely floored by how much this costs. And grateful that we live in a country that does help us cover some of those expenses. Because if you had this in America, God knows where you'd end up. Because if you don't have top-level private, and even then, they don't always cover it.
Mm.
But we did start a GoFundMe page for you guys. It's called Mel D in the Big C, if you guys want to go and find it online at GoFundMe.com. But it's so, so grateful to all of those people who have pitched in $10, $20, some people up to $1,000, like so many
amazing,
generous human beings out there. And that is a testament to you, Mel, because you around yourself with good people. But it's just when people hear the story, it's amazing how many people will dig deep and give, which is incredible. So thank you. If you're listening to this right now and you're one of those people who's donated, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's been incredible. And it's almost a little bit of restoring your faith in humanity to see all these people. And some of them I know and some of them I don't know. And I've had some of your friends call me and talk to me about things they can do to help. And it's just that village feeling, which we lack a little bit in this in today's, you know, society. That village is just incredible. So thank you to all of you.
I honestly had a week. Easter, I was overwhelmed. I just couldn't believe how beautiful people are. And honestly, I still don't have the words for it. I'm still overwhelmed by it. And I'm so grateful and I feel so blessed. And I don't even ever know how I'm going to thank everyone. But I am very grateful for it. And it's amazing. I really am going to pass this on when I get over this, because I now realize, you know, they say stress is the worst thing for this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that you've got to keep a positive mind and all of that sort of thing. Honestly, when you're going through this sort of thing, all you feel like is all you have is your mind.
Yeah.
Because your body doesn't feel like it's yours anymore.
It's being rogue.
It is. Mm. And, you know, and the things that are happening to it and are about to happen to me aren't nice.
Mm.
So you only have your mind. So you do want to just be positive. But if you've got financial stress, if you've got any sorts of stress and you don't have the support like I'm lucky enough to have, I don't know how you get through it.
Well, you, and I hope you don't mind me saying this, but you said to me, you told one of these people who you owe money to within this bill cycle that, yes, it'll be paid on Wednesday, because they were telling you this has to be paid on Wednesday. And you're like, I have no idea how I'm going
to
pay this
on
Wednesday.
I said yes to them and I didn't even know. Yeah. I went, okay, yeah, don't worry, I'll pay it.
Yeah.
Like, no idea how to.
No idea. Luckily, thank you, GoFundMe. But it's like, you have to, how do you juggle? I find juggling the home finances at the best of times difficult, let alone doing it through all of this. So we're gonna try and muddle our way through this and try and figure out how it all works and then give as much information to you listening right now to see if it helps at all to know what you're facing when you go into this. We might try and find someone who's gone through it in the public system too, just
that'd
to see how
really
it compares.
Interesting.
Because it'd be interesting to see how much out-of-pocket expense goes with being in the public, because you're not going to just get everything for free. That's
probably
not how it works.
And I'm not sure.
You're talking medications and things too. You don't get everything.
That's right, you don't. I would really be interested in having a chat to someone that's going through it publicly. That would be a great thing for us to do.
Yeah.
I think also, this is the main reason I'm doing this with you, Claire, is that we were talking about this beforehand and, like, you know, I could do this privately and a couple of people have asked me why I'm not doing it privately. Mm-hmm. A, I'm not a private person in that way anyway. Look at my job. But B, for someone like me who has no clue about cancer, it's actually really scary and you're going into this, like, fear abyss that you don't even know what's there. I would like to talk at least my experience through so that someone can get a kind of idea. Every cancer journey is different, but a kind of an idea of what it's like. A couple of people have said to me, what does it feel like to have cancer? I can tell you, for me, it feels like the initial part of it, you're very tired. Everyone says that you're very tired. The best way to describe it is I feel like I'm walking through quicksand. Everything is twice as hard. Mm-hmm. I'm twice as tired. I'm tired after a shower. That sort of stuff. This is the sort of stuff I want to talk about because hopefully it will help someone when they're going through it to go, oh, that's normal.
Yeah.
That's good. I don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
I've heard that's normal.
Yes.
Because you would just not know.
Yeah. Well, at least, you know, forewarned is forearmed. You can go into something and know what to expect, whereas I'm learning so much from your experience right now.
I feel
like if things happened to me, at least I would know sort of how to handle it and maybe who to turn to and what to expect. Mm. At least it's a pretty big, you know, the medical profession's a big thing. You don't know. You've got surgeons, you've got, you know, doctors, anaesthetists, all these kind of people that come and go, and you're just like, where do you even start? So even if we can narrow it down a little bit and help somebody out, that'd
be conversation.
Great.
Conversations. Yeah.
And thank you for being honest about this.
Pleasure.
I have had people call me and say, did you get permission before talking about this and putting it online? Yes, Mel gave me permission for anyone listening to this right now. I would not have done it. And in fact, she's in the room talking to me. It would be weird if we didn't. And she had no idea what we were doing. We're talking into microphones. It makes it a bit weird.
It's her job. Yeah. That's a thing. And, you know, the other thing is the Cancer Council, I rang them. I did ring them.
Yeah.
So on the Thursday, I rang them. I thought I just want to see what they offer. Mm-hmm. They're amazing. They are amazing. So if you are listening and you have cancer and or it's new or whatever, you know someone that's going through it, they are brilliant.
Yeah.
They know exactly how to talk to you. They rang me back a week later and they kept the appointment that they said they were going to, and they tell you everything you can do. They help you out so much with everything. And even to the point that they said, you know, my kids could ring Canteen if they needed to because they will support my children.
Well, actually, I might invite my nephew in too because he's had childhood cancer. So some of the charities that helped he and my sister out, absolutely mind-blowing. Mm. Just they helped pay for, like, if you go to a major hospital, you have to pay to park your car.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to a major hospital every single day and parking your car for 10, 12, 14, 16, 18 hours at a time, that costs a heap of money.
It does.
Food.
Yep.
You know, you're not at home in your own kitchen. Hospital cafes, you have to pay. You don't get the, you know, the patients get the food, but if your significant other is with you, they have to pay for their food every day. So every little thing adds up. And I know they got lots of help with stuff like that.
Wow.
And the guys from the Little Heroes Foundation, incredible with the things that they do to help out kids too. So there's lots of ways we can try and educate everyone here and educate ourselves along the way.
Mm.
So we'll keep you posted. But Mel, good luck.
Thank you.
In 2 days' time.
Thank
it
you
all
to
begins.
Everyone. Thank you so much.
You don't need to because you're just a bloody good lady. Anyway, we will keep you on top of this and thank you again for listening to another episode of Girl Crush Radio. We'll keep you posted.
Thanks for listening to Girl Crush Radio. For more great chats like this, follow us on Facebook and Twitter, Girl Crush with a K Radio.